Jamie and Locker with you here on this Monday edition of the Green Zone. I hope you had a fantastic Father's Day yesterday and getting ready for another busy week of sports. Game 6 Stanley Cup Final tomorrow. Game 5 NBA Finals tonight. Rider Game Friday in Toronto. But let's talk some hockey with one of our favorites, Marty Beer on TSN, Buffalo Sabres analyst here on the Green Zone. Marty, appreciate your time as always.
Oh, always good to join you guys. And I have to be letting you know that I'm entertained by some of your fans on social media, especially Viking Pizza, that says if the Oilers don't win the cup, they'll come down to the station in a Panthers jersey and open the door all day for people. I think that's amazing.
Well, we'll see if a random person shows up on Wednesday in a Panther jersey. Put them to work, apparently.
Look, I want the Oilers to win, and I would love a Game 7, but I still think Florida is a better team. So maybe not Saturday, maybe that would be next Monday, because obviously Saturday is the weekend. So we'd have to see that on Monday next week.
So the big question, Marty, who should start in goal for the Edmonton Oilers for Game number 6?
So on Friday, ahead of Game 5, I said, this is Calvin Pickard's net now for the rest of the playoffs. He's 7-0. And then Game 5 happened. And I'm not blaming Calvin Pickard, just like I didn't really blame Stuart Skinner, but I feel like they needed the change to Pickard, and now I feel like the Oilers need the change back to Stuart Skinner. Look, Stuart Skinner is the better of the two goalies. Stuart Skinner is the number one goalie of the Edmonton Oilers. And on his best day, there's no debate who the better goalie is. It's on their worst days. I feel like Stuart Skinner has worse days than Calvin Pickard. But you're not banking on the worst days now. You're facing elimination. You're banking on the best days. And you have to find a way to get Stuart Skinner's best day. Number one, the Oilers have to have a better start. They've been terrible in starting games now, the last two games. They haven't scored a first period goal since Game 2. They only had 3 shots on goal in Game 5 in the first period. Like, you got to help Stuart Skinner. But at the same time, Stuart Skinner is your better option. So let's go with him and see what happens.
Now, you played the position, Marty. Is the back and forth, is that, like, I guess this is kind of a two-part question. Is it harder on the goalie individually, or is it harder on the team?
Well, I think that going back and forth between two goalies is hard on the goalies, right? Because, and Florida doesn't have to deal with that. They have Sergei Bobrovsky. And the teams that are usually the better teams in the playoffs don't have to deal with it. That's why when Calvin Pickard won a game after coming in relief in Game 4, it was the first time a goalie won a game in the Stanley Cup Final coming in relief since 2015. It had been 10 years since Vasilevskiy had done it. And then you look at names on that list, like Frank Pietrangelo in 91. Like, it doesn't happen that often. If you get to the finals, that's because you have a guy that wins you games and stays in there. I played behind Dominic Hasek, Ryan Miller, Henrik Lundqvist in the playoffs. I didn't see 1 minute of action as a backup because you had some of the best goalies. You're the backup. You're not going in. So it's tough when you go back and forth between two goalies. Now, the tough part for the Oilers players right now, it's not so much who's in net, is who is playing and who is playing with whom. Like, the lines have been changing constantly. The lineup has been changing constantly. And I'm not saying that is a problem that the coaching staff has created. It's just because you don't have healthy bodies. Zach Hyman has been injured, broken wrist in the Dallas series. Connor Brown, not 100%. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins did not skate today. He's not 100%. Matthias Ekholm isn't 100%. You're dealing with so many players that are banged up right now that you're rotating players in and out of the lineups while Florida is using the same 18 skaters, the same 4 line, the same 6D. Like, there's a clear advantage in that department as well with the Panthers.
Marty Biron joining us of TSN, Buffalo Sabres analyst as well here on the Green Zone, getting set for tomorrow's game number 6. When I look at getting ready for game number 6 and where the goalies are, Calvin Pickard was in the, or sorry, Stuart Skinner was in the starter's net today. Do the goalies already know? Like Chris Knobloch said, nope, I'm not ready to name a starter. But has he already told them, Marty?
You would have to think so. I mean, I could see in the regular season, sometimes coaches will play games. They'll say, I'll let you know tomorrow morning because I want both of you guys to be ready. But that's, no, this is playing games. You're not playing games at this stage of your season, game six, facing elimination. They know. And by the way, I hate this old starting gold crease or whatever. When I was playing, and I hate to be the, I'm old, and when I was playing, but Hasek was always across in that net, I was always in the other one. We had our nets. It wasn't the starter's net or whatever. So media couldn't tell. Is Hasek starting tonight? Who knows? It's not a starter's net. Marty is always in the left one. Dom is always in the right one. And when Dom retired, well, got traded to Detroit, I stayed in my net on the left side, and Rand Miller came in to that one. Like, I feel like they like to go in the starter's net because I got to get in the mindset of the game tonight or whatever. Half the time they're in the practice facility, whatever. How about you just don't give too much information by always being in the same net? So, you know, coaches don't want to play the game, but goalies don't play the game either. Just stay in the same net, regardless of if you're starting or not, and we'll debate it even more. We'll speculate even more about it.
Speaking of debates, this is an ongoing one, just based on where we're at in the playoffs, but if you're putting a name down on that Conn Smythe trophy, who are you picking, Marty?
Right now it's Sam Bennett, because I'm looking at not just the final, but the overall playoffs, and he's been fantastic. 15 goals, 13 on the road, really being a major factor. Because Barkov and Reinhardt and Verhaeghe, they've got some good things going. Like, I mean, Reinhardt has 6 points in five games in the finals. Great. But I feel like the catalyst has been either Bennett or Marchand and his line. So I have Bennett number one, and I have Marchand number two. Mm. How could Brad Marchand win the Conn Smythe if he goes out and has 2 goals, 1 assist? You know, Florida wins 4-3 tomorrow. He has a game-winning goal. I say, okay, now I may have to change. Well, I don't have a vote number one, but I would have to change my vote to Brad Marchand. But going into game six, I'm going with Sam Bennett.
Marty Biron joining us ahead of game six tomorrow. Based on what we've seen, do we see a game seven on Friday night?
Well, I know people in Edmonton are going to hate me because I had picked the Florida Panthers in 6 games. I feel like without Zach Hyman, it was going to be really hard for the Edmonton Oilers to be able to compete. They've competed. I mean, they're, you know, one team was going to be up. Like, you can't be tied going to game six, right? So, and the Panthers are the better team for me. But I really want a game seven. And I want Stuart Skinner to just go out and play lights out. I want Connor McDavid to say, dig in like he did last year and let's go. Like, put the team on his back. A big problem right now is there has been quite a few penalties being called in these playoff games, but the Oilers have not been able to take advantage of it. The first power play of the game tomorrow for the Oilers is going to tell me if we're going to have a game seven or not. Hmm. If they score on that power play or create enough for me to think like, oh, the power play is going to have an impact, then I'll believe it. But if they go through the first power play like they did the first power play last game, like they did the first power play the game before that, then that's over. If your power play can't get you at least a goal, maybe two, then it's over.
Marty, Brad Marchand has apparently started a pregame tradition for the Panthers, and I guess there was just sort of a handful of guys that were doing it, and now it's grown. Last report in Edmonton before Game 5, 14 Florida Panthers went to Dairy Queen for a pregame snack. Was there any kind of pregame traditions for you or for teams you were on that were kind of fun like this DQ thing?
Oh, there would be way too many to talk about. And the playoffs are so special because of that. You usually get in the hotel on the road and you have a special room where, you know, you have card tables, Xbox, PlayStations, you know, couches. We used to play Tiger Woods, you know, golf on the Xbox, and you know, we would stay there until midnight, like almost 1 a.m. sometimes after games, and just play. I do remember with the Rangers, the 1 year we played the Washington Capitals, and we would go to dinner in Georgetown, which is like right outside of Washington D.C. And there was a Johnny Rockets on the street on the way back. We would always stop for ice cream there, and we had a great series. It changes series to series because you're in different cities. But if you go to a restaurant and you win, you're going to go back there, and you're going to continue. It's everybody's superstitious at this time of year. So you're going to keep doing that.
Weird how those kind of things happen, eh?
We've been debating. Locker and I've been debating about his damn Oiler jersey because he's now refusing it to wear it because he wore it for game. What was it? Game 3 or 4?
That jersey has a history,
and he won't wear it. He now it's like banned. He'll never wear it. Now he won't wear any Oilers jersey on game day. We had two had two watch parties during this final. The Oilers have lost both nights, so now for Game 7 watch party, he's threatening not to show up for
conflicted.
It. This is what I'm dealing with.
I'll tell you this. My brother, Matthew, who played in the NHL as well, is Adam season, like, you know, right before Pee Wee's. I think they went 0-31-1 in the season, and my mom had one of those noisemakers that she was bringing out every year, every game. I think she still has it in a box somewhere because she didn't want to get rid of it, but she never used it again for any other sporting events my brother and I ever attended. But she doesn't want to get rid of it because she wants the reminder that when she put it away, we started winning games. So now we're talking about 40 years ago. That's how far ago it goes, or 30 years ago. So, yeah, it's only weird if it doesn't work. And we're hoping all the luck goes on the Edmonton side tomorrow.
I am so glad we had you on today.
Marty, appreciate your time. And we'll see if it's Wednesday or Monday, and we'll see if we have a new doorman outside Rocco Radio Building in Regina. Thank you so much, Marty. Sorry. I hit the button way too early. I apologize. Marty Biron, TSN. Analyst and Buffalo Sabres here on the Green Zone. Double clutched. Another one taking Locker's side on this superstition thing. This time from a pro who I trust. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Mama, let me be. Jamie and Locker here on the Green Zone. A baseball note. As Shohei Ohtani is getting the start tonight for the L.A. Dodgers.
Interesting. I think they were really, really careful with him on his return.
If he was a regular pitcher, I imagine he'd be back already.
Yeah.
But they want to make him...
What was your prediction in the Green Zone Lounge today, Jamie?
No hitter. That's what was my prediction.
Oh!
I'm not putting it on the board. I am not putting it on the board. No. I just think it would be hilarious. You asked how good of an outing he was going to have, and I went, no hitter. Watch him just go out there and throw junk just all over the place.
I think you should put it on the board.
I don't think I'm going to put it on the board. But Shohei Ohtani is on the mound for the Dodgers. What a special athlete that guy is.
I'm calling it right now.
You're going to regret not putting it on the board.
That's not putting that on the board.
You're going to put that on the board that I'm going to regret not putting something on the board?
Yeah.
As we get to the one-minute drill here on the Green Zone, we have the original six, or the first six roster announcements for the international teams going to the Olympics for the hockey tournament. For Canada's side, Connor McDavid will be joined by Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, Braden Point, Sam Reinhart, and, of course, Sidney Crosby. For the American side, you have the Tkachuk brothers, Brady and Matthew, Austin Matthews, as well as Jack Eichel, Charlie McAvoy, and Quinn Hughes for the U.S. Game 5 NBA Finals goes tonight. OKC Thunder, they are hosting the Pacers. The series is tied 2 games apiece. Coming up next, while we've done our top grades and our failing grades for the Riders, What about the Oilers game from Saturday night? Would you like to grade the Oilers' performance? You can do so next on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker here on the Green Zone. Belton Johnson's coming up at just past 5 o'clock to talk more about that Rider game and why some fans are asking if he has a crow recipe after he picked the Hamilton Tiger Cats to beat the Rough Riders on Saturday.
You got some splaining to do.
We'll see him. But you know Belton's going to... He hasn't seen you since the end of the Oiler game. You left real quick. You gave away that Oiler jersey and puff of smoke. You were out of there. So Belton was hoping to have a little trash talk with the Florida Panthers victory. So
I didn't need any of that.
Maybe he'll bring it in a couple of minutes here on the Green Zone as we talk Riders and the Tiger Cats. But right now, we're bringing out our red pen again. We've done the grades on the Rider game from Saturday. That means it's time for our grades from the Panthers and the Oilers from game number 5, a 5-2 loss.
Would you like to start with the failing grade, Jamie?
I always do, so why stop the tradition? My failing grade is goaltender Yo-Yo by Chris Knobloch.
Are you prepared to name a starter today?
I am not.
Yeah. Didn't name a starter. I hate this. I hate it. I hate the goaltender Yo-Yo. You are in the Stanley Cup final. You should have a guy. You need to have a guy. And you need to put some confidence out there that you have no doubt in your guy. I know Peter DeBoer got flamed for what happened against the Oilers in that series, but what did Peter DeBoer do after two shaky things with Jake Oettinger? He said, the last guy in this room I'm worried about is Jake Oettinger. And then after the series, he threw him under the bus. But during that series, he put full faith in a guy. His guy. That's what I think Chris Knobloch should have done with Stuart Skinner. He has been there, done that. And we all have watched this series.
Yeah.
This isn't a goaltender problem for the Edmonton Oilers. This is a five guys in front of goaltender problem for the Edmonton Oilers. And now we've done this, flip back and forth. We've gone from game 3. No, let's go with Skinner in game 4. Oh, no, let's yank him. Okay, now Pickard's in. Oh, no, let's go back to Skinner. For that, I'm picking the Panthers to win this series tomorrow. And I hate the goaltender Yo-Yo. That is my failing grade for the Edmonton Oilers. Locker, who gets your failing grade?
The Oilers face off defense.
Game 4, 11:40, and here's Barkin looking for the first goal, and he has it. And once again, Florida strikes first.
Here comes Marchand, looks for the move on Walden, gets the shot away and scores! Another spectacular move by Marchand!
That was the two goals on Saturday night. The first goal, Marchand, the third goal, the game-winning goal. And I'm not the only one who noticed this when we were chatting with... Ryan Kennedy from the Hockey News, he had mentioned it as well, and it jumped out to me. And obviously, and if you pay attention to the faceoffs, teams are now really trying to focus on set plays, and you can set up a set play, whether you're in the offense or the defensive position, right? And both teams are doing it. And I think what's ended up happening with the Panthers, because they're very smart hockey players, Marchand included, is that they're actually setting up counter plays to the Edmonton set plays on the faceoffs. Marchand's cheating. We don't need to get into detail on that because obviously...
They all cheat.
They're all cheating. So it's not... I'm not trying to make a thing out of it. But somebody please cover Marchand. He's jumping in on plays, and he's taking advantage of the holes that the Oilers are creating in their set playoff, face-off plays. So anyway, in the Stanley Cup playoffs right now, Marchand is fourth with 20 points. He's got 10 goals, 10 assists. He's also first in the NHL right now in the playoffs with plus 18. In his career in the playoffs, he has 66 goals, 92 apples in 179 games. In that 179 games, he is plus 48. I'd like to point out that he's 37 years of age. When he's on the ice, somebody catch him. He clearly is a playoff performer. Cover him. By the way, hands down, the dumbest hockey move this season, Don Sweeney. I don't know what in the world they were thinking letting Marchand go. But what they got for him, I had to look it up just to double check. And it was based on performance in the playoffs. So if he played a certain number of, if he went a certain number of series and played a number of games, it went from a second round pick to a first round pick. So Boston gets a first round pick based on the results of the playoffs this year in 2027 and 2028. That was the dumbest move. Add to the fact that the Bruins are paying half his salary right now. So the next deal that Marchand signs, by all estimates, is probably going to be a 3 or 4 year deal for $7 or $8 million. So he's going to be paid. What were the Bruins trying to get him for $6 million? They were trying to get him to duplicate his offer, like the previous offer. Unbelievable how dumb that is. My failing grade, the Oilers face-off defense. Please, cover him.
Let's go to our top grades. My top grade goes to a fan we saw on the television on Saturday. Yes, I'm talking about the gentleman who stood up in the third period with a 4-1 Florida lead, ripped off the Edmonton Oilers jersey, and then proceeded to celebrate with his Florida Panthers, I believe it was a number 19, Matthew Tkachuk jersey, in the city of Edmonton. If you remember when Evan Bray was on our program live, you heard the boos, and it was like two guys in Florida jerseys. They were getting harassed in Edmonton. This man had the wherewithal to cover his fandom for his own safety, and then at the best point when it was sealed away, so show his true self. I howled. I laughed. And if you can get a reaction like that from me, you get my top grade. To the fan who put in a good investment with an Oilers jersey covering up his Panther jersey, gets my top grade.
That was actually pretty funny.
Who gets your top grade?
My top grade goes to Boston Pizza's pierogi pizza. A true classic. When I found out we were doing the watch party, I couldn't stop thinking about it. If you have not had the pierogi pizza at Boston Pizza, you are missing out. Our Game 5 Oilers Riders combo watch party on Saturday night at Acres 21 Boston Pizza started with a pierogi pizza. Great service. Huge thanks for them hosting us on Saturday night. Look forward to another one at Boston Pizza. I'm just not sure how I'm going to be involved. Yeah. Top grade, Boston Pizza, pierogi pizza.
You did hurt, didn't you? That's your top grade. You weren't going to top grade a Florida Panther at all for what? You didn't want to top grade Brad Marchand or Sam Bennett or anything like that?
No. Matthew Tkachuk?
Your best performance was the chef to throw that pierogi pizza in for you.
Did anybody on the Oilers deserve a top grade from Saturday night?
Well, some Panthers might have.
No, I'm not doing that.
1-877-332-8255 here on the Green Zone. Jace, who was at our watch party in his Ottawa Senators jersey. That was a good choice rather than throwing on an Oilers jersey, Jace. What gets your failing grade?
Well, first of all, I just want to say thanks, boys, for putting that watch party on. It was great to be there and meet the both of you. And Scotty, you too, if you're listening. But failing grade goes to the entire Edmonton Oilers team because I don't know if you guys are seeing something different, but the entire playoffs, they cannot play 60 minutes. Like, they will have one or two amazing periods and then just completely fall apart. Whether it's the first, second, or third, I don't think they can play 60 minutes. And it looked in the last game like they had a really good first period. They got some really good chances. But then it seemed like because of those chances and they couldn't finish, the wind just got taken right out of their sails. And I didn't think they played very good in the second and third.
Jace, I think there have been a couple of games where they've played a full 60, but you're not wrong. This Stanley Cup, like the finals, they have had bad starts, and but you're not wrong. The one thing that I am seeing from the Florida Panthers is they seem to overload. They overload one side wherever the puck is. they'll send four guys down on that side of and they just leave one guy high. And the Oilers tried to counter it a couple of games ago by doing a cross ice pass when they were doing it. But then the Panthers shifted gear. So they've got like two or three defensive setups and attacks on the Edmonton Oilers, and they switch them around. And Knobloch and the coaching staff for Edmonton hasn't figured out how to counteract it yet. And I think that's part of the reason why I've been trying to put a finger on why the Oilers, they looked so good.
The Panthers are better prepared.
Yeah. They look so good in these three series leading up to Florida. And then Florida has just like stopped them in their tracks.
They are a refined system.
Yeah.
They know what to do in almost every situation. And with the veteran savvy that they have now, when you add, you know, a Seth Jones and a Brad Marchand going into the deadline and even get deeper in that.
Well, I don't think Seth Jones has been that spectacular in this series. Not against Edmonton.
No.
They make him look a little slow, in my opinion.
I think he's a lot better than what they would have had if they didn't have Seth Jones in the lineup
100%.
For the Florida Panthers. So I just think it's the veteran savvy and just it's relentless. It is absolutely relentless, and I am starting to see that the Oilers are wearing down because the Panthers are just relentless, and I think you're starting to see the frustration boil a little bit on some dumb penalties from here and there from a certain few members of the Edmonton Oilers. They can't do it. I agreed with what did Marty Baron say. Show me that first power play of the Edmonton Oilers. If it is crisp, and you see, you know, a couple of high caliber chances, okay, they're in it. But if that couple of those power plays the other night,
they
got
to be connecting too, right? Which is, to your point, they're not connecting. And again, the Hyman, losing Hyman in that Dallas series, I think is a much bigger, because everyone at that point was like, okay, maybe the Oilers do have depth, because this was one of the talking points leading into the playoffs. So the Oilers aren't going to make it very far. They haven't got any depth. And then after the first series and then the second series, they're like, well, maybe they do have some depth. But Hyman has been, they haven't been able to replace that, what he brought.
Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Of course, you can give us your grades. Who gets a top grade? Who gets a failing grade from the Oilers? Game 5 loss. Game 6 tomorrow, as they'll try to force a Game 7, and they'll have to do it on the road in Florida. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Still Belton Johnson coming up to talk Riders at 5:05. And our game of the night next on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Jamie and Locker with you here on a Monday edition of the Green Zone. What are you going to be watching tonight as we get to our game of the night? Locker, what's on your TV schedule?
Well, that Padres-Dodgers game is in Los Angeles, so it's a later start. So you'll be able to get quite a bit of the NBA game 5 in. Thunder and the Pacers are tied at 2 games apiece, so it's a best of 3 there. That starts at 6:30. The 8:10 is the start for the... I'm very interested to see how Ohtani does on the return to the mound tonight.
The Dodgers.
Can I watch both?
You put it on multiple devices nowadays, right? That's how it works?
Yeah.
During the NFL season, it can be rather ridiculous.
Do you have that screen? Like, can you watch more than one game on your TV?
On my Apple TV, I can split the screen 4 ways. So I usually have, it's through DAZN, right? You have DAZN on, and then you go multi-view, and you can click 4 different games. I usually have NFL Red Zone on.
I can't.
And then 3 other games. And then sometimes on my laptop, I'll put up another game.
This is
so there, sometimes I have 5 games going on at the same time.
This is explaining a lot to me.
It is. It might be a problem. But anyways, double game of the night, 6:30, basketball game 5 of the NBA Finals, and then he got Ohtani back on the mound for the Dodgers at 8:10.
We're awaiting word from the Edmonton Oilers. Who's going to start in goal for Game 6 tomorrow?
Be prepared to name a starter today.
I am not.
That was Chris Knobloch earlier, so we'll wait tomorrow to see if it'll be Stuart Skinner, likely be Stuart Skinner, or Calvin Pickard in net for the Edmonton Oilers facing elimination tomorrow as the Panthers try to win a Stanley Cup. Also, Riders practice tomorrow, so we'll get word. Sam Emelis left the game late against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. It's a short week. They get ready for Toronto. Of course, they're playing them on Friday. And the original six, as I'm calling it, the first six announced to the Olympic team roster for Canada, Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, Braden Point, and Sam Reinhart. We're talking football with the big man, our game day analyst, Belton Johnson, next. I bet you he's picking the Panthers tomorrow. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.